from around the world, across the nation, and up your street. Lock your doors, hide your women, and your men, too. We're in for another bumpy ride on political QRM.
We are back, folks. Oh, my God. Tell you, what was it, 2 weeks, and look what's happened. So much has happened. I mean, you know.
It's election year.
Yeah, well, more people have dropped out, and we've got a few that have come out.
So much has happened. Well, it's election year. Well, first, because nothing else gets done any other time. It's only election year when anything gets done.
That's true. Yeah, plus the fact that things are just getting really nasty. Now, I'll have to be honest, I did not watch the GOP debate last night because I am debated out. but from what I understand, it was a tag team offense on Donald Trump. But, you know, he basically, some people said that he held his own. Other people said, well, he wasn't, you know, out there, you know, defending himself. But, you know, I think what people thought, many people that I've read comments about, they said that Rubio acted like a petulant child.
Yes.
You know? So.
Yes. But here's the other thing. Trump decided to disengage. I mean, well, you know, or not engage. Because, you know, he made that comment some weeks ago where I could go out in the middle of Fifth Avenue with, you know.
And yeah, shoot people. Yeah. And I still get that.
So he's got. He's kicked the hornet's nest down the road enough times, and you know, of course, he had the media, you know, eating out of his hand, pro con and otherwise, eating out of his hand,
right?
You know, for so long that this time he said, you know what, I'll skate. Let them guys attack me. Let them guys argue. Let them, you know, let them keep after, you know, this and the other thing. Yeah, I'll stand here. I'll still win. You know, especially, you know, look, face it. If Cruz loses Texas, there was a fellow on Fox News this morning said that there's a 97% to 99% chance that Trump will be the next president. And he's some economist or some political science professor from some big shot college somewhere, and you know, he's predicted the right one since
really.
Yeah, so it's, you know, the models and graphs and metrics and, you know, all that kind of thing that that the, you know, big shot college do use. And I'm like, yeah, so he took one out. You know, he took one out. He's going to wait. He's going to wait. Let them act the fool, you know, and when we get past Super Tuesday, you know, I mean, look, he's probably going to lose a state. You know, on Tuesday, he might even lose two states.
Right.
But that's still, by that point, he's getting close enough. He doesn't have to work.
That's true. That's true. Well, come on.
For when it's one-on-one.
Right.
You know, and, you know, now we've got Cruz being accused of dirty tricks, and we've got, you know, Rubio accused of being a petulant child, and we've got, you know, Mitt Romney doing a Harry Reid.
Oh, God. You know, Mitt Romney should just shut up. I mean, he lost. Just go sit in the corner, for God's sake.
You know, him and he's about as relevant to me in this day and age as Michael Dukakis.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, come on. You know, Mitt Romney had the chance. We gave him the chance to get out there and really fight against Obama, and he sat back, you know, with all this, oh, no, Obama's a nice guy, and all the same thing that McCain did. And people said, wait a minute, what? I'm sitting home. So that's why he lost. You know, oh, no, oh, God, no, it's, you know, it's not his fault.
All right, I'm going to.
What?
I'm going to say this, and there's no salt involved in this at all. I'm not rubbing salt in any wounds.
What?
I predicted the rise of someone, not Trump by name, but I predicted the rise of someone, you know, in 09. I predicted that one of these days somebody's going to come along and shake this stuff up. However, I was wrong in the fact that I said they'd bail out right, you know, at primary season. just enough to light the fire and bring everybody's feet to it. And then he'd say, oh, you know what? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm out of here. And let them, you know, stand to answer the questions.
Okay.
Also the fact that Jeb proved to not be the anointed wunderkind.
No, he was the anointed one. He just couldn't carry it through.
Right.
No matter how much money he had.
I'm honest. I'm glad. You know, I'm glad. I really had a thing going there for a while with the idea of Ben Carson, but, you know, he just, and once again, just like Herman Cain, as soon as as soon as he said anything about taxes,
mm-hmm.
he fell down like the Hindenburg.
Yeah.
He went from being number two to number 22 in one weekend.
Well, you know, Ben Carson, I mean, he's a brilliant neurosurgeon. Okay, yep. But he does not have the killer instinct to get anywhere like Donald Trump does. And let's face it, you and I come from the New York City area. I mean, you know, we've heard of Donald Trump. We know who he is. We've heard about his deals, his business dealings, the type of person he is. And I'll tell you, he wasn't one of these people. Oh, okay, sure. He's been married, what, one, two, three times? One, two. This is his third wife? Well, come on.
So bye.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is that, you know, I mean, but there have been no horrible, anything with his family. Like, all his kids are wonderful kids. You didn't hear any of them going into rehab or any of this stuff.
No.
You know, they were all successful. They were all well-adjusted. From what I understand, he's a good family man. He loves all his children, you know. And his ex-wives don't have anything bad to say about him.
Well, you make that kind of money, you don't care.
Of course not. However, come on, New York. You know, between Page Six and everybody else, that you know, you can get almost anything on anybody, and it can be, you know, it'll go through the press and everything by like wallflower.
Anthony Weiner. No.
Oh, God. Yeah, remember Anthony Weiner? So the thing is that, you know, Donald Trump is just, you know, he's there. You know, Ben Carson, while he's brilliant, I don't think his place is president of the United States.
It's Donald Trump's stock in trade. And it has served him well thus far.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with it is, when Donald Trump would make a deal in New York City, you know, to put up a apartment building or a hotel or whatever, he'd make a deal in Atlantic City. He did not draw the plans for the building.
Right.
He didn't source the contractors to put up the building. He didn't. All he did was when the time came that he wanted to put something someplace, he'd go in and he'd raise whatever ruckus he needed to, and everything fell into place, you know, because he promised this to that one and this to that one, and, you know, and call in a favor here and there. And he was, you know, it's not just bluster. There was business acumen there.
That's right.
And it helps. The problem I have isn't a question of whether or not he makes the right decision on a given issue, whether it's foreign policy, domestic policy. Is a question of when he decides to make that decision, he's going to chase it down into the mouse holes in the Capitol building.
And you know, the problem with that is what?
That's not a problem, except if he's making the wrong decision.
I don't think he will if he takes, if every decision is made with protecting America.
Wait a minute.
Protecting America and putting America's interest first instead of the world, and doing it in such a way that our enemies will fear us, our friends will respect us, even though they may not agree with us. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, big distinction. But again, going back to the idea of whether or not he hired the contractor to design the building, when it comes right down to it, he's going to. And actually, I don't know if it really matters who it would have been, except maybe Jeb, that would have gotten in and done anything any differently. It was a question of they would surround themselves. And I think Donald Trump has enough of the same acumen to turn around and say, I'm going to put a cabinet in place of experts that know what they're doing.
True. Yes.
And they say, Mr. President, this is the way it's got to play. He's going to turn around and say, you know what, you're right. Or no, you know what, you're wrong, unless you can prove to me you're right. Well, here's the fashion figures.
That's right.
Well, if you're right, then let's go get it. And he will call McConnell in and say, put this where it needs to be. And he will call the bearded wonder in and say, you know what, if you're going to, never mind. You know, that there's a word for people who can't grow beards. Women.
Hey, wait a minute. You and I are both Italian. So we probably have a family member somewhere.
That's a stipulation. That has nothing to do with it. I'm talking about Americana women, you know. So,
okay.
You know, he will turn around and he will say, get this where it needs to be. Because we've got 2 years.
Right.
We've got 2 years. Because if you guys blow this, the 2018 election is out the window, and it won't matter if I'm sitting here for one term, 2 terms, 8 terms, or 22 terms.
That's true.
And they're going to, you know, I'll tell you one of the things I'd like to see him do, and I mean in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, of course, you know, the war, and of course, you know, the border, you know.
Right.
Of course, Obamacare. Okay, granted. Something I'd like to see him get a hold of these guys and say, all right, here's what I want. What's that, Mr. President? I want line item veto. It has come up and gone down in every congressional session since 1944.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan really tried to push it, too. I remember that.
Yep. Give me line item veto, because that will force them to, like, you know, O'Reilly complains all the time about Kate's Law, mm-hmm. and that McConnell wouldn't bring it up as an independent bill. Well, you know what? Everything's going to have to be an independent bill, because he'll strike the line through anything stuck on the back end of it saying, oh, you know what? I need $100,000 in my district, you know, to put a fountain in front of an old folks home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's nice to have a fountain in front of an old folks home, but that shouldn't be my responsibility.
That's true.
And, you know, go have a bake sale. You know, yep. Sticking your hand out to the government for every $50,000, $100,000, $1 million, $2 million, you know, $20 million to find out why bats, you know, fly to the right on the way out of the cave. You know, $20 million to find out why, you know, cockroaches prefer, you know, what brand of bacon, you know, when it's left on the counter. You know, all these kind of things, you know, and I've seen some real losers as far as the projects, but most of the ones I actually remember are kind of dirty. So, you know, these things here, you'll be forced to put these things before him one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, oh, we're going to take all the pork out of the barrel. And they do for one bill.
That's
and say,
right.
Look, cut all the pork out of it. And the Times covers it and the Post covers it and all this. Oh, look at that. They cut all the pork out of it. And all the liberals and everything go all crazy nuts cuckoo because, oh, this program and that program that we needed. Government shutdown, government shutdown. Meantime, if every bill's got to go before him one at a time.
That's true. Yeah.
When they get the proposition, the proposal, whatever you, to buy the four, you know, $2,400 hammers, he's going to go, no. And the people will take over, because if the people take a bill that he vetoes, and the people well enough believe in it, they'll get an override.
Right.
If the people don't well enough believe in it, they'll turn around and say, well, we're not going to override this veto. We're not going to give you those $2,400 hammers.
Mm-hmm.
Down to Sears with, you know, $125 and send us a receipt.
That's true. No, I agree with you. I don't know. My problem with all of that is the fact that you have McConnell and now Paul Ryan, and I can tell you right now, they're probably in the back room trying to figure out how they can stymie his efforts throughout.
Their teeth are chattering. Stymie his efforts, nothing.
I hope so. I hope their teeth are chattering.
This election is coming.
I hope
they know well that the 18 election is coming. They're not worried about 2016 right now. They're worried about 2018. It's too late to worry about 16.
I'll tell you, if we can clean out the House in 2018, that would be fantastic. Get rid of some of these idiots.
And
get this country back on track, because I know you've had it, I've had it, and a lot of other people have had it, and many people.
You can't tell me that one of two things that have to happen, that between January 1st, 2017, or 21st rather, 2017, and January 21st, 2018, there's two things that have to happen. One or the other, there's no reason why we can't have one or the other. A, line item veto, and B, term limitation.
I think the American people are more interested in getting the wall started. I'll be honest. At this point in time, so am I.
No, absolutely. Get the wall started. No, that's absolutely positively. It's a higher priority. But when we get, because once the wall started, the biggest problem isn't starting the construction. The biggest problem is stopping it. You know, if they say, well, it's going to take 18 months to put this wall up, you know, guaranteed that's good for 48 months minimum. You know, and 48 months later, you find out that they're so behind schedule, they need another 60 months to complete the project. So, you know, you're talking 100 months into an 18-month project.
I don't know about that, because I really think that the American people have woken up. And I think with something as important as the wall, and the fact that he has made a big, big deal about it, that the American people aren't going to take the politicians in D.C. Trying to stymie it. I know I'm not going to. I mean, you know, and if he says he's going to build a wall, and if he gets elected, it's still not a fait accompli. If he gets elected, and, you know, he says, I'm building that wall, and he sticks to that, and he starts it. And you have the people in Congress that are going, oh, well, you know, I don't think the American people are going to take it. I really don't. And there's going to be bloodshed. Not figuratively, I'm talking, not literally.
Yeah, of course.
Although some I would like to put in front of a firing squad.
But now look at the whole, his position on Obamacare isn't as...
What?
You know, what...
He said that he wants to have a go free market. Now, and he also said that there has got to be a federal type of... what did he say? There's got to be... But I think it's toward people...
He was behind single payer.
Huh?
I think he was behind at first anyway.
At first, yeah, until he realized it's not a good idea. I mean, you know. But he does say that there has to be some sort of, what was it, a net for those who can't afford.
Oh, Mary, there's got to be a safety net for everything.
Yes, I agree, yeah.
You know, got to be a safety net for in case of a crash. We can't get rid of the... welfare entirely. We can't get rid of a subsidy for that kind of thing entirely. You know, there has to be safety nets. So look, we're not the party of, you know, for all of Arianna Huffington's trying to tell us we are. We're not the party of, you know, roll granny, you know, over the cliff and put grandpa on an ice floe and, you know, starve them little kids. You know, we're not that party.
Oh, no, the Democrats are, considering you take a look
you're absolutely right.
Michelle Obama's lunches for the kids. Talk about starving children.
Well, that's going away.
Yeah, I know it's going away, but boy.
No, but I mean, it's going away all by itself.
Yeah.
You know, school districts are saying, sorry, you know, hold back our funding. We don't care. We'll save so much money by not throwing food out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, free market.
She was basically just starving our children anyway, but I digress.
Speaking of the free market in health insurance, I think there should be a free market in education. I think there should be a free market. I think that Amtrak should be on a fast track to desubsidized.
Oh, I agree with that, yeah.
I think the Postal Service should go. You know?
I mean, yeah, I know. Postal Service. John Kasich keeps pushing the point that his father was a mailman. I'm like, I wouldn't really...
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily a brag there, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's not a claim to fame. Although, you know what? At his age, his father was a postal carrier. He probably goes back to the pre-union days.
That's true.
I think, and, you know, I get in trouble with this one with, you know, some of my family anyway. I think that there's no reason whatsoever on the planet why federal employees need a union.
Oh, I don't think they do either.
You know, look, I'm not saying go out and wholesale union bust, but as far as federal employees, there's no reason for them to be in union. There's a that's why you got a government job, so you don't need that.
That's right. That's right.
I think that, again, Amtrak, I think the Postal Service, look, the only reason the Postal Service exists today, there's one reason the Postal Service exists today, eBay. Nobody was the Postal Service for anything until all of a sudden eBay popped up, and they used the Postal Service exclusively.
Really?
If it wasn't for that, you know, back in the, when it first opened, yeah, everything was
postal. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Huh. Yeah, everything was postal mail. Hmm. And the reason is because the United States Postal Service goes everywhere. It has to.
Right.
You know, FedEx and UPS and Railway and all the other ones, you know, they don't have to, so they don't.
Right. And what they usually do is they drop it off at the post office, and then the post office, you know, brings it to the...
So now there's no reason why the post office shouldn't be a government agency, but it's got to be a different government agency than it is now. Mm. You can't just abolish the Postal Service, you know.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
You could change their mandate a little bit. I think these are things that, you know, because these are the seats of government waste. Yeah, mm-hmm. All right, so you got a program for $24, $40 hammers. But that's not the government waste. The Postal Service, Amtrak, you know, the Department of Education.
Yeah.
You know, the Department of Environmental Protection.
Oh, God, EPA. Oh, man, I really want to get rid of that. I mean, that's the first one I want to see go. Seriously, the first one I want to see go.
EPA. And yes. You know, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. I'm sorry, that's a convenience store, not a government agency.
Yeah, I know. I know.
We probably need that. And I think some of the other things that get tossed off into different, you know, you've got government agencies that are duplicating and triplicating efforts.
Is ATF part of the Treasury Department or not?
Treasury.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, it might be Commerce.
See, that's ridiculous, because Treasury basically has the same responsibility, don't they?
Yes, indeed.
In some respects.
Look, these 3%ers that are out there nowadays, these people, the 10th Amendment movement, that's what they're basing a lot of their issue on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the Dakotas and another state out there that are saying, you have no authority over it, you have no jurisdiction.
That's right.
Well, of course we do. It's a firearm. If we manufactured a firearm in North Dakota and we only ship it to addresses inside North Dakota, it's not. It's got nothing to do with you.
That's right. Yeah.
You can't confiscate it. You can't tax it. You can't, you know, approve it. You can't approve it. You can't. And it's got nothing to do with you.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
And, you know, I don't know what we're going to see now, though, with that. You know, there's certain things that they're not going to. The FCC. You know, we need the FCC. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, no, we do, but...
We don't need this stuff the FCC is. Come on.
No.
It's just silly. It's just silly. They're behind the technological ball, and they're out in front of the legislative ball, and that's because... It's a political position.
Yeah, that's basically it.
But I'll tell you what, the Department of Agriculture.
Go ahead.
We need a Department of Agriculture. We need the Department of Agriculture to do what the Department of Agriculture used to do. They go around and they test all the cows to make sure they don't have tuberculosis. And they go around and they help farmers, you know, we can increase your yield by doing this. Or, you know, they help farmers, you know, with regulations. And there's no reason for them to be, you know, and then talk about showing some promise with Cruz when he actually pulled the votes he did in Iowa. Having that confrontation with a farmer who was like, oh, you're going to get rid of our corn subsidy. And he says, yeah, I'm going to get rid of your corn subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
It's no good. Ethanol is no good. It costs more to make than it's worth, and it doesn't save any greenhouse gas.
Actually, I agree with Ted Cruz on that point. Because it also makes corn as feed for cattle and pigs and stuff. The price is sky high.
So why shouldn't the farmer grow what he wants to grow, grow what he can market, grow what he can sell,
exactly.
instead of getting on the government gravy train for these subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
Free market. That's the one thing that, Trump's got right. Free market. Who knows it better than he?
I agree. Hey, did you hear the comment by former President Vicente Fox?
No, I didn't. I missed that one.
You didn't.
I did. I missed it. What did he say?
He was doing an interview with Univision. Or was it Telemundo? I can't remember. I think it was Telemundo. And they asked him about the wall that Donald Trump wants to build. And he said, let me see if I could. Well, the word F was in it. Effing, okay? Because, we don't want that effing wall built, and it's not going to happen, And it's like, excuse me? That's fine. Go ahead, It's just...
What are you gonna do? You're gonna get those cartels and give them the sniper rifles that we sold them for 10 cents on the dollar.
Well, basically, he said we're not gonna pay for that effing wall, And I'm you want to bet?
Wait a minute. Did you hear what the hell's that senator's name that got popped?
Huh?
The anti-gun senator or congressman? What the hell is he? I gotta find this.
Okay.
I don't know what the hell he was. Hold on. Anti-gun. Learn to type, Lou. It'll help a lot in your, later in life.
That's right. Wait a minute. He said, I'm not paying for that effing wall. Want to bet?
Well, you know what? Yeah, you are. Because if you don't, we are going to round up 12 million of them little sons of guns. And we're going to drop them back in your yard.
That's what I'm saying. Do you know what I found out? That $62 billion has been sent down to Mexico by way of money transfers and
cards. No, I don't think cards. That was just Mexico. Huh? I don't think that was just Mexico. I think it was just
Central Mexico. America. You sure about that?
You might be right and I might be right.
Or was it 50? Okay, maybe it was $54 billion just to Mexico. But it's an awful... Hang on. You know what? I'm going to check on that too, baby.
Because, that's good because I don't remember now. You know me. I get past 6 o'clock at night in my memory.
Yeah, I know. We got to do this. So what did you have? Whoops.
I didn't finish typing because you stopped me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Let's see. To Mexico. Mexico from U.S. Let's see.
Where's here we go.
What?
Sentencing for ex-state senator in racketeering case. Came out of KTVU in San Francisco. Leland Yee sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. Big shot anti-gunner from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And here he is making deals to send to Gun Run.
Gun Run, yeah, exactly. What a piece of crap. Okay, I've got it. Here we go. Now, it says here, $120 billion total, okay, sent by workers to families abroad. More than $23 billion went to Mexico. Okay. $23 billion to Mexico. Plus, last year, we sent them $175 million in aid, foreign aid. Now, I got that amount off of a government website.
Well, how much do we send them in heroin, cocaine, marijuana? Geez.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that the reason why Vicente Fox was getting so upset was because, he sees all of a sudden that... the cash cow is going to be mighty lean, Donald Trump gets his way, and I hope he does, and he better, because I really don't give a hoot what happens in Mexico, because Mexicans are not my problem. Americans are.
I don't know how many dollars of that money went to Venezuela, but apparently it doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. No. Oh, Venezuela, I think we spent something like, no, just foreign aid. I think it was $23 million or $28 million, something stupid, or maybe a little bit more. I do know we spent $25 million to Guatemala, and they only have like 12 million people, something like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah. What the hell are they doing? Burning it?
No. No. This is the thing that kills me about these people with Bernie, and all the socialists, Trotskyites, and Marxists, and Lenins, and everything else. You know, capitalism this and capitalism that. But capitalism's the engine that drives all the money that goes to these places.
That's
and
right.
These places, you know, you think these are communist countries.
Yep.
And what happens? The apparatchiks get all the money, and the poor stay poor.
That's right.
Nothing changed after the 1917 revolution.
Now, what changed was the revolutionaries got the money instead of
the proletariat didn't get it.
Thank you. No, they didn't. They got the scraps.
It's the same thing all over sub-Saharan Africa.
Right.
We sent all this money, and what happens to it?
Oh, yeah. No, the third world despots have it. Their armies are well-fed and very powerful. And
when
people are starving.
The gold-plated toilets in their
in
their mansions.
And we're still hearing the pleas. Oh, you have to feed a kid in Africa. No. I'm sorry. There are a lot of people here in the United States right now that are hurting, including all those workers that were fired from Disney down in Florida.
And Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, and they were forced, the ones in Disney were forced to...
Train their replacements.
That's
yeah.
right, yeah. And now, there was a guy. What?
Seattle now has bills pending that they're working on in Seattle since the $15 an hour minimum wage didn't work out so well for them.
Oh, I know. Restaurants all over the place closed. Oh, my gosh.
So now it's so bad over there because the $15 an hour minimum wage didn't work out so well for them. Now they're actually creating legislation that controls how many hours per week and how many hours per day that's a minimum of what you have to hire people for.
You are going to find businesses, just leaving.
They already have.
Yeah, I know, but more are going to leave. They're all going to Texas.
You know, they tried. They actually passed a minimum wage increase in Portland. And I'm waiting to see what the ramifications are. Because, I don't get to Portland very often. But I'm going to have to go down there and look around and see what closed. I'll tell you what probably didn't close.
What?
All those halal markets that are down there now didn't close.
Oh, my God. Why in heaven's name? Oh, jeez.
Debbie doesn't take me food shopping.
I won't go to Portland, obviously, now.
We don't go to Portland in general. We usually go to, either Wyndham or Bridgeton or something. But she doesn't want to take me food shopping because she knows full well, because I always ride around a little electric thing.
Oh, no.
And, it's not so much that, but she usually takes an ordinary cart and goes off, because I go slower in that thing. She knows full well what's going to happen. She's going to turn around and she's going to look up, and I'm going to be in the line with the Muslim woman as a cashier, and I'm going to have, a stack of bacon, pork chops, 3 bottles of whiskey, some wine, cigarettes, even though I don't smoke, what the hell?
Man after my own heart.
I have services with me, too, shoes. I'll put shoes. As a matter of fact, I'll buy a new pair of sneakers, put them on, put my old ones in the box.
No, I agree with you. I would do the same damn thing. I'm sorry. I will. Oh, my gosh. Hey, did you hear? You know what? You read Pamela Geller's column?
Every day.
Yep. Did you see the articles about in Pakistan, there is a bill pending that is that would protect women from, abuse and stuff like that? And a Muslim cleric came out and said, it's in violation of Sharia law.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, okay. So basically,
hey, wait. You want to see one that's you want to see one that will make you perk your ears up?
What?
And I don't remember who put it out. I think I put it on my Twitter feed. If I did not, I'll tell you. If you can find it, great. It came across my it came across my either my Facebook feed or my Google Plus feed. I don't know which. But it was one of those man on the street spoof kind of a thing, just like that guy who was trying went to the college campus and said,
"Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah."
To get rid of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not legit, but, you know, they're doing it to see what kind of reaction they get.
Yeah.
They had this older guy and this young girl. The girl was dressed up like a bride, and the guy was in a tuxedo walking down a street in Manhattan to see what people would say about a child bride.
Oh, it was a girl. Okay, so what happened?
He's walking along, and people would stop him and like, "Wait, what's going on here?" You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, "No, it is okay. I got permission from the girl's parents." And these people are stopping saying, "Oh, no. Oh, no. This, you can't do that. It's against the law." "Oh, but I have permission." "You know, no, I don't care if you've got permission from her parents. It's not done here. It's against the law." And people are, you know, trying, uh-huh. You know, and the girl's not saying anything. He said she's 12, right? Which, I'm sorry, she probably was 18, but very probably young than 18. And because I don't know if you can do that with somebody not of age of consent, you know, legally. But, and at the end, this one brother goes up and he grabs the girl by the arm and he pulls her and says, "I'm taking her down to the police station."
Really?
He did not take that kind of stuff kindly.
Then why? See, I don't get it then. That goes completely against what the mainstream media has been telling us, and that...
I'm not talking out in, you know, some, you know...
No, we're talking about Manhattan.
I don't remember whether it was 5th Avenue, 7th Avenue. I don't remember where it was, but it was in Manhattan. Like, there were real buildings and stuff there, so I knew it was Manhattan somewhere. You know, real, like, gray and glass.
I don't get it, you know? Oh, by the way, Marco Rubio says our problem is with Islam.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Oh, was I confused?
Yeah, we were confused. You know?
Gee, thank you, Marco.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, our issue is not with Islam. Oh, really? Oh, that's nice.
You know, and I'm sorry. Here we are. All these. Today, by the way, is the 23rd anniversary of the first World Trade Center bombing.
The first and what?
First World Trade Center bombing.
Oh, yeah.
With the blind shake.
God, has it been that long?
23 years, baby.
Do you know, and I forgot this, that people, I couldn't believe this, because I did some more research on that first bombing, and some of the people that they arrested lived in my hometown of Cliffside Park, New Jersey, in relation to that bombing.
Oh.
Man, tell you how far we have come down in that little town of mine. My God.
Well, you know,
shame.
They're talking about how, you know, Trump said, "Oh, people rejoicing on 9/11, 9/12.
They were.
Yeah, well, that's it. They kept saying, "Oh, no, they weren't." You know, I don't know why they asked De Blasio, but they asked De Blasio, and he says, "Oh, I don't know. There were no people at night."
What the hell is De Blasio know?
Right. Well, he happened to be the sitting mayor, you know, and
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I got news for you. They may not have been standing there in Bayonne and, you know, or down in Liberty Park.
Jersey City.
You know, that's what I mean. Liberty
Park. I know, but no, not Liberty Park. Yeah. Wait a minute. When was the last time you were on the Garden State Parkway that goes through area of Jersey City? That, the Blind Sheikhs Mosque, is right there.
The Turnpike goes to Jersey
City. No, it's the frickin'... No, it isn't, dear.
It's not the Parkway. The Parkway doesn't go anywhere near Jersey City. 280 does. 287.
Wait a minute, let me think. I'm driving. Excuse me, all to hell. You wouldn't know, Barry. What the heck do you know?
The Turnpike goes through two.
Okay, fine. Then it is a turnpike. That's true. It is a turnpike. I take that back.
Shut up. The parkway goes to all the shore points and stuff.
It stays
on the east.
Yeah. Shut up. All right, so it's a turnpike. Well, anyway, right there, you can see as traffic slows down in that area because there's always a bottleneck. If you look to your right, you can see the damn mosque, okay? And it has a lovely flat roof. And, yeah, people were on top of that roof.
Well, as I said,
cheering, because you got a great view.
Remember, I went straight down into the command bunker and stayed there for, I think, what did I, I even brought it up with somebody late, and they said, well, we can check. I think it was 101 hours. I didn't see actual daylight again for 101 hours.
Really?
And, yeah, lots of fun. As a matter of fact, I saw the second tower from the command bunker on monitors. So, anyway, but that isn't me. I know that when I did come out, one of my friends, his wife worked at a major hospital in Patterson.
Okay.
And he was afraid for her. And he said, you know, Lou, could you, you know, come with me? I got to drive her to work and stuff like that. And I said, yeah, sure, buddy. I'll take care of that. I said, you know, the more people in a car, the better. He says, well, I'm hoping you'll take the gun. And I'm like, well, all right, yeah, now that you're mentioning it, I can do that for you, you know. So, packed up the old 45 and off we went. And we got down there. And as we were going down Main Avenue, which comes through from Clifton from about S3.
Okay.
And goes actually a little further, goes up to the Nutley border, which is, you know, just another 2 blocks. It's not like it's far. It starts at about S3 and it goes all the way up through, all the way up to like EP. So, okay, so we're going down Main Avenue. And I got news for you. When you got to just about where the Lou Costello Monument is in Patterson, New Jersey,
right?
That whole neighborhood is Arab.
Jeez.
And has been for years. I mean, I remember that way long time ago when I was dating, I don't know, one of my wives or something, I don't know. There was a place in Patterson right there by that statue, and people who are listening who know, you know, the neighborhood. There was a pizzeria called Nick's. And it was all right. It wasn't the best pizza. You know, it was pizza. Mm-hmm. You know, any place you can go and sit down, have a piece of pizza and a beer, you're in good shape, right?
Right.
So anyway, I went there a couple of times. I hadn't been there in forever, but I went down there. I was spinning records at Hitsville on corner of Main and Piaget Avenue. And I went down that way, and I went past there, and it was Nick Haddad's.
Oh, my God.
Halal pizza. And no beer. Forget it. You know, and this is 25 years ago.
Oh, man.
And when I went through that neighborhood, let's just say Old Glory wasn't in my face.
Yeah, I know.
There were flags there from countries I never heard of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, what flag is that? I had to wait until I got home and look it up in the... didn't even have to, you know.
Yeah.
I had to look it up. What the heck country is that? Oh, you know, oh, it's Oman. Oh, it's Qatar. Oh, it's, mm-hmm. you know, this... Huh. You know, so it's a... It's the kind of thing that they pinned on him saying, oh, no, that didn't happen. Well, yeah, it did. Like when, like we mentioned earlier, when Reed turned around and said Romney hadn't paid taxes in 10 years. You know, well, now Romney did it yesterday to Trump, saying, well, you know, we don't know exactly what's on his tax forms or something. I'm not going to say it's a quote, but he
Well, he said, oh, there's probably a bombshell, you know, there. And it's like, what?
Anyhow, I think I did it again. I have no idea where the hell we were.
Okay, let's just change the subject then. Who cares, right? Let's go in another direction anyway. I mean, I think we've kind of beat everything a little bit. I don't know.
The only thing down that avenue that I didn't beat so far anyway, there were two parts of the political part of this that I didn't hit yet.
Okay.
One is I know that there's at least one person that's going to listen to this that used to be a member of the Democrat Senator Susan Collins' staff years ago. And yes,
my
that's
condolences.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
That's right, Chuck. I said Democrat. Okay, I did what I said I was going to do. I called her a Democrat. There. because she was the first one on board after the whole thing when Justice Scalia said, well, you know, if he does make a nomination, we really should at least have hearings and come to some consensus. Shut up and sit down.
Well, you know, if they do have hearings, that means that the Republicans are going to cave.
The only thing that makes me unhappy is I got talked out of starting a pool.
You're kidding.
When exactly they'd cave. The other thing is, and this is actually almost a good news kind of arrangement.
What?
All right. If Trump is elected, not only Whoopi and Rosie, but Al Sharpton are going to leave the country.
Isn't that nice? I swear to God. Can I be at the what?
Raven Simone.
Yeah.
Will leave if any Republicans are nominated at all.
I want to be at the airport and wave bye. What do you mean nominated? Any Republicans are not? Did she really say that?
Uh-huh. She said that.
Oh my God, she's stupid. She is. What do you mean? She doesn't understand the two-party system, does she?
Welcome to the people that Democrat voters listen to.
Yeah, total idiots.
But wasn't that good news that if even Sharpton now has said he will leave if Trump is elected?
I love that. Please. I'll be at the gate waving bye-bye. Where's he going to go? Where's he going to go?
I don't care. You know the old thing about, you know, don't go away, man, just go away?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going away, I don't care if you're mad. Just get.
Just leave. That would be great if he did leave.
You know,
of course, he owes $4 million on his taxes? Yeah. We gotta take that first from him, and then he can leave. Whatever he owes the United States, we'll take that.
Yeah. But anyway, I just thought it would be something to bring a smile to all our faces, the fact that Al Sharpton did indeed promise to leave.
Rosie's going to leave, too?
Rosie, of course. And
thank God.
I don't know about the Baldwin.
What about Susan Sarandon?
Did you see what happened with her the other day?
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Hold on. Oh, she endorsed Sanders.
Oh, that's right, though. She said, yeah, about Hillary Clinton, just because. She said, I don't vote with my vagina.
What did I always say? I've been saying vagina vote for years.
But you know, at least I have respect for her on that point. Now, I don't agree with her or anything else. But, you know, it's like you have so many women out there that are going, but this is a monumental time in our history to elect the first woman president. Okay, give me one, you know.
Oh, whoa. Wait a minute. Hold on here. Whoa, Nelly. I posted a thing about an article that I dragged off of, I don't know if it was World News or WorldNet, rather. I don't know if it was Western Journalist. I don't know where it was from. I grabbed an article, and it had to do with Obama.
Yeah.
And it had to do with the fact that there were people out there, you know, the typical Obama voter.
Uh-huh. Right?
And I posted it on my Facebook. And a girl that, you know, has me friended for God only knows why, said, oh, but he's done such a wonderful job. He's a great leader. We need great leaders like him in America. Like,
what did he do?
I said, you know, well, another friend of mine is actually goes to CPAC and junk like that.
Oh, don't start me on the CPAC thing. They won't allow Pamela Geller to be there.
Well, that's it. I have issues with CPAC, and I've discussed it with him at length. And
goodbye.
Said, well, yeah, but he turned around and said, well, you can't fix stupid, you know.
And, yeah, you can.
So, yeah, you can. The thing is, I turned around and I said, I'm sorry. Did I wake you up from your nap under a rock?
Mm.
You know, and, oh, no, he's, you know. A guy she used to be married to, which is, I guess that's how I got friended. A guy that she used to be married to, and I guess that's one of the reasons she used to be married to her, said to me, he said, Lou, you sent me a private message saying, Lou, you don't understand. You know, she's been in the education establishment for 40 years.
Oh, okay.
What did he call, not inner city, but at-risk neighborhood or something like that. And, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. You got to feel bad for people like that, you know.
They have a handicap, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they get, you know, just because she goes to work every morning in a helmet, you know, it's
God.
She gets a free ride on the short bus.
On the short bus. Yeah, okay.
You know, the little blue bus. But anyway, all right, so now we're done with that angle. Unless you've got more.
I don't know. It's just, there's so much going on here, and I have absolutely, it's just, you know, I mean, CPAC won't let Pamela Geller there. I'll be honest. I've dropped off of Red State. Because Eric Erickson left, although I'm not exactly a fan of Eric Erickson either, because I think he's supporting Rubio, or is he supporting Cruz? But the managing editor of Red State now, Leon Wolf, is adamantly a Trump hater. He can't stand him. And is supporting Rubio. And it's like, wait a minute. Do any of you guys realize that he's not really a Republican? Well, you know, so...
Well, look at this with George Will, Mona Sharon.
Yeah.
All those people over at National Review.
Oh, geez. That's gone downhill.
Of course it's gone downhill. They stopped in their tracks as soon as Bill died, and that was that.
No, they carried on for a bit, and then it just kind of fell off the cliff.
Yeah, well, without Bill there,
driving. You know, the thing is, too, it's like we keep using this word conservative, and I'm tired of it. It's not.
I am too, because look, if the CPAC can be called one thing, it might be crappy political action committee.
Yeah, true.
Or you know, convoluted political action committee, or you know, something else. But it sure as hell, it hasn't been conservative in 16 years.
Yeah. No. Well, the thing is, too, it's like, well, I don't like the word conservative anyway, because if you really take the word and take a look at what...
Yeah, but it's popular. No, it's colloquial now. It's not, you know, truly designed to be carried off to the Webster. I mean, you know, we know conservative and we know... See, that's the reason you want to start getting into that. I'd be happier staying with conservative because now the waters are so muddy on the other side because they stopped being called liberal. Now they're progressive.
Okay.
And they can get away with that stuff. If we start trying to change it just because we don't actually...
No, you know, let me finish. It's the thing is that they say conservative, and some people use it as a curse. Some people use it as a word to describe, meanness, you know? But... You know, if people would actually take a look and say, you see, as a conservative, we stand for this, 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 and this. Oh, yeah, you know what that means? We're an American. Mm-hmm. We are Americans, not conservatives. They have taken the whole thing about being an American, and they have given it a conservative moniker, and then what they do is they turn it into a curse word, you know, so it's like, you know, oh, conservative. You know, it's like, well, no, I'm an American. I espouse American values and the traditions and the Constitution. That's what I really am. Am I conservative? Well, no, not really, but I'm an American.
Well, you see, that's the thing. I think I am, and I'll tell you, because they
I'm just a freaking American.
They have played a little semantic Jedi mind trick there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you look at the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, you know, all that kind of thing, and you look at what America was not all that long ago.
Right.
I want to conserve that.
Yeah.
And it's not that I want to be in the status quo. It's not that I want to be a technological Luddite. It's not that I want to be some sort of, you know, I just want to conserve what America was, what made America great in the first place, instead of worrying about making it great again. I want to maintain what made us the leader of the free world. I want to maintain what brought the wall down. I want to maintain, you know, all these, drove Hitler to hang himself. You know, I want, you know, And, you know, I want to conserve. Well, no, I shouldn't say that because it wasn't Patton's fault. They told him to stop.
Yeah, now he wanted to go all the way to Moscow.
Life would be so much simpler.
I think so. I really do. But, you know,
big tail fins and stuff if they had let him alone.
I know. But, you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, people go, oh, well, what do you mean American? What do you mean American exceptionalism? You know, they get very derisive. They you know, they act like, oh, you're this nationalism. And, you know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, you're either being an ist or a phobe, one or the other, right?
Yeah, right. But the thing is that a lot of these people that are saying this stuff, they don't understand or they refuse to admit it or they've forgotten it. That anybody can come from any country in the world and become an American. It's not that we're an ethnic group.
No, we're a country.
Yeah, I know that. But, you know, if you're French, that's an ethnic group, too. I mean, it's a nationality. It's a heritage. Okay? If you're French. Mm. And you know, France. But a Frenchman can come here and can become an American because it's the ideals that we all share.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people just don't understand. And that's what we're trying to preserve, that sort of the country where we can all just come here and live our dreams.
Yeah, but, you know, neither you nor I could go to France
and become
French. We could have gone there at 16 years old and lived to 96 and you'd never be French.
That's right. That's right.
They come here, and not that I'd want them here, but they can come here.
That's
well,
right.
I mean, there's certain things that, you know, we talk about assimilation, you know, as long as they, you know.
But that's it, though.
As long as they start using, like, bathwater and deodorant, then they can come.
You know, oh, man, you're being mean. Well, you have all these Muslims that don't do that, but that's okay.
Smell them on the breeze.
Jeez. No, the thing is that, you know, so many people have come here from different countries, whether it's from Italy or Poland, Russia, whatever.
Oh, you know, we're all immigrants at one time. Yeah, that's right. We are. We were. Yep. We all were immigrants at one time.
But we're legal.
You know what? We all got along just fine. I mean, no, we didn't. I shouldn't say we all got along this time.
No, we not really, but you know what?
What was that Ken Burns, I think it was Ken Burns, correct me if I'm wrong, that Ken Burns program on PBS about the Italian Americans.
I don't think it was Ken Burns, no.
I think it was PBS, though.
It was PBS, definitely, because I saw it.
And they showed, you know, all the Italian-Americans coming in, the way they were treated, which was no different than the way the Irish were treated, no difference than the way the Chinese were treated, no difference than the way the were treated, the Jews were treated. And they all went down the Lower East Side and all that other, you know, and they were all treated badly, and the cops picked on them, and all, you know, and then we get all the way up to Sacramento, et cetera. But they did. They moved out to the suburbs. They moved out, you know, they made businesses. They did what they did, you know, and they're not there anymore. Well, no. Somebody them behind them. Yeah, of course they did. That's why there are ghettos. So you've got somewhere to go when you get here.
Yeah.
Then you move yourself up. You work hard. You know, you exercise self-discipline. You work hard. You get an education. Even if you can't get one, your kids get one.
That's right.
And you make the best of what this country has to offer, which is pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
And away you go. And then the next thing you know, you're not in the Lower East Side. Now you're on Staten Island. Now you're in the, you know, now you're in Brooklyn. Now after that, then you go, okay, fine. Well, now you're in White Plains.
You're in Long Island.
Or Long Island, you know, and then, you know.
New Jersey.
Become somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Become somebody. And your kids become somebody. And it gets to the point where when Thanksgiving comes, now all you have on the table is the big turkey, the mashed potatoes, the yams, you know, the broccoli spears, the three bean salad, you know, or whatever it's called, that stuff with the canned onions. And that's what you got. You don't have a lasagna, you don't have an antipasto, you don't have meatballs, you don't have sausage, you don't have prosciutto, you got none of that. But you used to.
Yeah, why not?
And speaks any Italian.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
the bad
thing. The only Italian they know is stuff they learned from watching The Sopranos.
Yeah.
You know, when they want to go out for Italian food, you know, twice a month on date night with the husband and wife, they want to go out for Italian food, they go to Olive Garden.
Oh, my God.
you know,
blasphemy.
I'm telling nobody makes gravy. If they do make, if they do want something to have, you know, a dish of spaghetti or something like that on a Friday afternoon, they open up a jar and they boil their spelt pasta.
Oh, jeez, no.
You know, or what have you, and that's their.
No, wait. Some people do, okay, but some people, you know, they have a, they carry some sort of the heritage. You know, some families do. It depends on the individual family. It does.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, it does depend on the individual family. I guess I just was fortunate to be in one with a little bit stronger. But then again, I've got cousins who have kids named Chad and Travis.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty gone.
I know.
And that is, now I'm getting aggravated. But the, you know, but I'm saying this is it. You know, if you come here, whether it's the Mexicans or the OTMs all through, you know, Central America, or whether it's Arabs, or whether it's, you know.
Okay, but you have to come here ready to embrace the American ideal.
Exactly.
You don't have to give up your family traditions, okay? I mean, your heritage, you know who you are. And that, and to me, that plays a big part in becoming an American. Okay, you can still have your traditions, just like we did, and our grandparents did. But they, you know, in every other aspect, they were American. They learned English, they got jobs, they contributed to the community.
Yep.
You know, but sure, on Thanksgiving, in addition to the turkey, they had a bowl of macaroni, you know?
Well, here's the thing. The English First movement.
Yeah.
Is actually starting to gain traction.
Why I hope so.
Well, yeah, but why is it starting to gain traction? Why is it something that never really mattered before?
Because people automatically learned English when they came here.
Exactly. When you got here, you learned English.
I know. My grandparents did. They went to school for it.
Yeah. Well, mine didn't go to school for it. They learned it on the job. But, you know,
right.
you had certain phrases when you got to Ellis Island. You had to be able to understand enough to get your,
right,
you know, understand the instructions on Ellis Island. They didn't have interpreters with 17 different languages and 4 dialects.
No.
They had English. You know, because the guy behind the counter's name was either Janowski or O'Reilly or, you know, yeah, Smith. It wasn't, Bacigalup.
I was just going to say that.
You know, or Vinegum Bats, or whatever Danny Thomas used to say. But you know, so they had to learn English. And it's not even a question of saying they had to by saying you have to by law. They were saying you have to or you're not going to eat.
Yeah, well, you know what? A lot of people that came here wanted to be an American. They wanted to succeed as an American, and they understood that you had to learn English in order to get somewhere. It wasn't that, oh, gee, you know, all of a sudden my grandparents, their last name was Grasso, that all of a sudden they were going to change it to something, you know, like, you know, Grass or, you know, Gordon or whatever. They weren't going to do that.
No. There was no reason to.
There wasn't.
Know, some people lost the ethnicity of their name only because of transcription errors and things
yeah,
like
exactly.
that. You'll have that. But the problem is nowadays, because you can come to this country and because they do have 17, 18, I don't know, I had to do something with the state of Maine and had to do with the business. You started a website and, you know, you know, the websites, government websites are useless. So you end up trying just looking through it far enough to find a phone number. And there's a chart on there, and I think it's 17 languages that they will be able to translate for you.
Oh, my God.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. Why?
And if you come here and you had to speak a certain amount of English and you had to have a sponsor and you had to have a job because if you didn't, you starved. You went
right.
all the way across the Atlantic Ocean on this little leaky tub to what, starve here instead of starving there?
That's right. Yeah.
If you come here now, they got 17 different languages by virtue of which they can get you to welfare benefits.
Yeah. You're automatically handed welfare benefits, I think.
Well, I don't know if they're automatically handed it to him. I think you have to walk up and ask somebody, but it doesn't take much.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, I'm all upset.
Don't get upset. Don't worry. Donald Trump's going to become president.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is there is still a fly in that ointment.
No.
Voter turnout.
I think people will turn out because of the way things are going now for Trump. I do. Seriously.
Well, I don't know about New Hampshire. I know about Maine. We still have same-day registration.
Yeah, we do.
And we still have ID-less voting.
No.
You don't voter ID.
Well, we need voter ID.
Well, they've been trying really hard to pass it, but they keep screaming about it'll disenfranchise the poor.
That is such a bunch of baloney.
Well, if the poor need an ID to go cash their welfare check.
Yep.
They should have one, right?
I agree. Yep.
Or if they need it to, whether it's cash the welfare check or get a library card. I don't know. What do you need it for? You need it for all that kind of stuff. You need it to buy, you walk into any convenience store in the state of Maine, and I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're, if I go into the Big Apple Quickie Mart down here.
Mm-hmm.
And I take either a bottle of liquor or, I don't smoke, but if I ask for cigarettes, they are going to ask me for ID.
That's true.
It's the law.
Right.
They ask everyone every time.
Mm-hmm.
When I had the day job, I used to go into the same Big Apple every morning to get, my tobacco. Every morning, rain or shine. Pull in there at the same time, place is empty, and the same girl there for 2 straight years, and she asked me for it every time.
Hmm, okay.
And I never had a problem, and I knew she was going to ask for it, so I had my wallet ready.
Right.
It's not her fault she has to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I, if they want to buy, a six-pack of beer on, their EBT card,
yeah,
or if they want to buy a pack of cigarettes on their EBT card, they still have to show the ID.
Yeah, yeah.
If they can find ID to buy cigarettes and if they can find ID to buy liquor, why don't they have an ID for voting? And I saw a picture last year when they were trying to push it through up here. A picture of some Indian women, South Asian Indian. And saying there's, 8 billion people in India, 40% of which earn less than $1 per day, but everyone has a voter ID card.
Really? Wow.
Okay. That's a pretty significant number there.
Wow. Well, if they're able to do it there, why the heck can't we do it here? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, because of the Democrats.
Yeah, because they'd lose half their voters.
Well, that's okay. You have the Democrats that are trying to get Hispanics registered to vote. Of course, nobody has said whether or not these are legal Hispanics, so they can counteract Trump.
Well, all any of them have to do is show the stub from the 3 or 4 under each name, 3 or 4 earned income credit checks they got,
Joy. I could use one of those earned income credit checks.
One address had something like 36 checks totaling something like, $100,000 or...
Oh, my God. Jeez.
It was one of those homes where they have, 50 people living there,
Yep. Hey.
What are you going to do?
Listen, I just found this article on Drudge. Italian city to limit ethnic eateries after explosion in kebab shops. The city of Verona.
Saying
it's concerned about protecting its cultural and culinary heritage in the wake of a boom in kebab shops.
Of course, they keep letting all the Muslims in there. You won't be able to find two gentlemen.
That's true. So they're trying to. At least the Italians are starting to wake up a bit. They're waking up better than the French, I've noticed.
The French are, believe me, the French are waking up pretty quick.
I hope so. They have to do something.
the French are waking up pretty quick. They're really, you know, they had a I remember what it was. It was something I saw on YouTube, actually. This thing about, this bunch of liberal do-gooders, social justice people that were about these, the soup kitchen and food collection point, which is especially easy right now because France outlawed throwing away usable food.
Okay.
Restaurants, supermarkets, et cetera, you can't throw away usable food. It has to be donated.
Right.
And they were collecting all this food. And they were giving out hot meals and all this. There's a section of tents over there in Calais.
Calais. Oh, my God.
And there's these, you know, thousands of people there and everything. And they go in with their truck and they give out hot food and, you know, all this other stuff. And they start at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning cooking and, you know, and they're all so happy to do it. And they got this great big donation of, I don't know what it was, chili or soup or something. And they went into the thing and they were trying to do it in an orderly manner, give everybody, you know, 2 or 3 cans or something.
Right.
You know, or each of the, if a guy came over and he was from a cluster of tents and he was like their leader, they'd give him a case,
mm-hmm.
you know. Within seconds, the van was empty because they climbed all in there and started taking out 2-3 cases at a time.
Jesus.
Because they'd black market them off. You know, they'd go and they'd grab 2-3 cases and when somebody didn't get their can, they'd sell it to them and, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's great, except they emptied out the van, and they were very upset with this, the people who were trying to do good, you know. They were trying to do good. They really were. And they got their heart broken by that. Then turn around and found out that the expiration date was, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
So they accused them of trying to poison them.
Oh, my God.
And they went and gathered up all the cans and dumped them out on the ground.
And they demanded more food, right?
And it's funny, there were hundreds of people there. They were actually a little bit afraid for their safety. There are hundreds and hundreds of widows and orphans there with their beards out and their turbans on. You know?
The orphans, yeah.
Yeah, all the widows and orphans. You know, it's I don't understand what... I don't understand. I was raised... Italian family. I was raised to look for the good in people. Always looking, you know, for the good in people.
Right.
Always look for the good. Now, don't be terribly upset if you don't find any. Mm-hmm. But always look for the good in people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it always helps people when you can.
Right.
You know, if there's a way to help your neighbor, you help your neighbor.
Right.
You know, if these are the way. These are the things I was raised with.
Okay. Yeah. So was I.
But it doesn't take much to turn around and say, okay, now we're done with this.
Well, look at them. I mean, look what they're doing. Look what they're demanding. Look what they're doing to people, to the women. I mean, Cologne, Germany, for God's sake. I mean, in Austria, there's, I forget what city it's in, but the women basically have to run a gauntlet when they're in this train station because, you know, all these immigrants, these migrants... are, you know, sleeping there or whatever, and they go in there and they just start sexually assaulting them. It's like, what?
And the woman who's the mayor of Cologne saying, oh, keep them at arm's length. And then there's another, where is it? Essen? I think it's in Essen. I might be wrong. I don't know.
Okay.
There's a pool that they had to close.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, the disgusting things that they were doing.
And
they're animals. I'm sorry, they're animals. They're worse than animals.
They've got that 7th century mindset.
That's what it is. It's 7th century mindset. And this is the 21st century. And I'm sorry, Islam is incompatible with Western culture, traditions, heritage. It is. Go back to the Middle East. Just live your life. Don't bother us.
I think a lot of people would say, and you'd see some serious changes. I think if there were plans in place that once the war is done to repatriate these people, because if we bring them back, what's going to be different than before they left? I mean, they live in holes in the ground. I mean, it's not like we blew up their skyscraper.
Exactly. No, I agree. I mean, you know, some of them are, you know.
If we blow up their mud huts, the mud's still there. Just get some water and have at it, right?
Yeah, no, I'm so, yeah, no, I, you know, I've had it, Lou.
If we repatriate, say, look, you're here. We're not going to take anymore. But you guys that are here, you say, why aren't they in Saudi Arabia? Why aren't they in Qatar? Why aren't they in Kuwait? Why aren't they in the UAE? Why aren't they in Jordan? Why aren't they in Lebanon? Why aren't they in Libya? Why aren't they in these all these Muslim nations over there? Where there's, you know, whole, you know, fraternité between them because they're all, you know, Muslims. Egypt, you know, Algiers. Take them to all these places. Indonesia. So there's all these Muslims that are coming here or going to Germany or going to France or going to Spain. You know, and Spain, you'd think Spain would really be annoyed. They just got rid of them a few hundred years ago.
I know. It's like, God, folks, remember El Cid, for God's sake?
You know, so... Why isn't there a, if there was a plan in place to repatriate all these people,
but
as soon as we're done,
yeah,
right? As soon as we're done, we're going to take this all home, right? Because they don't do anything but complain about everything they get in all of our.
That's right. Life. That's right.
You know, if we're going to take this all home. I'll tell you something. I don't know what the Muslims that we would be sending home have to say about it. But the people of England, the people of France, the people of Germany, the people of all these places, because even the low countries have really had enough of it, too. And Scandinavia, they've had enough of it, too.
Jeez.
But that war be over.
Yeah, that's true.
That war be over, because if you told all these countries, you know what, as soon as we're done over there, we're going to take all of them back. You couldn't just say, okay, well, you know, you need to call back tomorrow to get through to the White House or to your senator, or to your congressman. It wouldn't be a question of saying, well, let's wait until, you know, the Fuhrer dies down and try again tomorrow. No, the wires going to these places would melt.
Mm-hmm.
Physically overheat and melt the wires. So people would be, let's prosecute this war. Let's get rid of these people.
But you know what, though? The thing is that you have the EU, that you have Britain that want to move out, that wants to leave.
The referendum is in July, on the 23rd of July.
The what? The vote?
Referendum to vote, again, you know, about pulling
okay.
out of the EU.
Well, the thing is that you have the politicians that are hell-bent on keeping the EU together, and it's dangerous policies regarding these migrants. I mean, the people are the ones that are, you know... that are being hurt, the regular, ordinary citizens. While these politicians can go and hide in their homes, behind guards, behind gates.
Oh, yeah, it's just like the Hollywood liberal elite.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, and every time when you get the thousands of people that come out and they have these signs, they have their demonstrations, go home, we don't want you, all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, these people are haters and everything. No, they're not. They want to preserve their country. What's wrong with that? What is wrong with trying to preserve their way of life that these people have known for centuries and thousands of years in some cases? Mm-hmm. What is wrong with that? I see nothing wrong with it at all. I mean, you know, and all of a sudden we have to be, oh, these globalists? I don't think so. No.
I'm not a citizen of the world.
Neither am I. I'm an American.
It's just the United States.
Yeah,
I'm not a citizen of the world. I'm not a citizen of the galaxy. I'm not a citizen of the universe. I'm a citizen of the United States.
Yep. And you know, and this whole thing with the EU, when it first started, what was it, 22 years ago or something like that?
20-odd years ago.
20 years, yeah. I even said, let me tell you something. If this thing lasts for 20 years without any problems, I'll be surprised. The thing is that, you know, you have these globalists who put this damn thing together, and... But
it's
one thing, yeah. But one thing that they forgot is that, gee, to be an Italian is different than being French. Being French means you're different than a Greek. And the thing is like, you know, then all of a sudden they're going to throw these people in that don't give a damn about anybody's ethnic background or heritage. They just want to wipe everything out. And have everybody become Muslim. And it's like, wait a minute, you know? Come on. Really stupid folks.
Jizya tax. or, you know, either convert, pay the tax, or die.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Can I get behind door number four?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's behind door number four? Killing you.
Yeah.
What's that? You know, here, door number four. What's behind door number four, Monty? Well, you know what's behind door number four? Door number four is kill the sons of bitches and call it a day.
Yeah, I agree. No, I've had it. I've had it. This is, they're a cancer. They're a cancer society.
But you know, Islam, you know, the 99% of the people who are Muslim are peaceful.
That's bullshit. Excuse my French.
They all want, you know, kumbaya, sitting around a campfire, you know, with Anita Bryant and, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's what they want to do, you know, and it's only this 1%, you know, the bad apples and, well, you know, the old-fashioned thing is, you know, the one bad apple will spoil the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you don't understand. They can't speak out because if they speak out and there are radicalized people in their mosque, they'll get hurt, they'll get burned down, they'll get killed, they'll get disseminated. I don't care.
That's not true, though. That is a bunch of propaganda.
Whether it is or it isn't, it's not that I don't care.
Yeah, okay. I agree. But, you know, Islam is only Islam. That's it.
Their imam comes to the microphone and, you know, testing, is this thing on? And comes to the microphone and says, oh, I'm here to renounce and denounce and, you know, castigate and mitigate. You know, all these other people running around, and, you know, we had three guys like that in our mosque, and I called the cops and got them taken away, and it's a, they're not going to do that.
No.
Because they're sympathizers, or but 25% of the Muslim men under 40 believe that Sharia is the way to go, and that sometimes honor killings are the way to handle it, and... You know, all this kind of stuff, and suicide bombing is a legitimate tactic.
Heck, they have. I just watched this YouTube video or something of one guy telling his 11-year-old son how to drive the car so he could be a suicide bomber, and the kid did. He went off into the sunset. Boom.
The one kid that they showed on what the hell was it? Might have been independent journal. One of the websites showed a picture of a kid with his father or his mom or his buddy or, I don't know, his husband. I don't know what the hell they got over there. Instructing the kid in how to behead people.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. This is the religion of peace, right? Yeah, I don't think so. No, as a matter of fact, what Islam really says is that... When Islam is throughout the world, then the world will be at peace. Okay. Also, Islam does not mean peace. It means submission. So
here's the other thing that people talk about all the time. Well, have you ever read the Quran? Why? Well, you know, if you read the Quran, you find that it says, "Oh, and it's peaceful and it's just everything."
That's baloney.
You don't understand. You know, have you ever read a book from the back? No. I've done that. Well, you want to see what's going on in the Quran, start at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a subsequent.
Well, the thing is...
If you said something in chapter one and says something else in chapter two, the chapter two version is the way you go. If you start at Sharia 1 and you end up at Sharia whatever at the very end of the book and it cancels out Sharia 1...
Yeah,
it's
that's
not what,
true.
One is true, one is false. No, it's sequential. It's linear.
Well, you know what?
You said on Monday, if you say something different on Tuesday, you go by Tuesdays. If you say something different on Wednesday, you do it Wednesday's way. The ones before that don't matter.
True. But you know what? This is what you say to those people. Have you ever read the Quran? This is what I would say to them. Listen, everything I've ever wanted to know about the Quran, Thomas Jefferson took care of.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
The only thing I need
he
to know...
He read it for me. He took care of it. Look what he did.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. The only things I really want to cover that we haven't covered yet so far, and it's
go for
probably
it.
For the best. the military angle.
Yeah.
Today, the Gitmo issue.
Oh God, Gitmo. Okay, let's start on Gitmo a bit. He wants to move these people to mainland, to the mainland of the United States. Considering
which there is precedent against.
Right, but the thing is that you have to take a look at the people that were already released. And what did they do? Oh, I'm sorry. They're not living in a little cave minding their own business. They went back to the fight. As a matter of fact, in some country, one guy was just rearrested because of planning terror attack. So, you know, but that's okay because, gee, Obama says that Islam is peaceful, so... Oh, wow, we should just take him at his word. I don't think so.
Yeah,
no,
well,
Gitmo should not be closed.
You can't use enhanced interrogation techniques because you when you waterboard, they think they're drowning, so you frighten them.
But that's the whole idea of it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you how I feel about it. Do you think the people who jumped from the World Trade Center were frightened for the few minutes it took them to get from the top of the World Trade Center to the ground?
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's all I need to know about enhanced
That's right.
That's it. I don't need any more of that. How about the people that were on the aircraft?
That's right.
How about the people that were on their way down, not knowing if they could? How about the people that were already on the ground, trying to get away from there?
That's right.
You know, that's all I need to know. Until you do enough enhanced interrogation to equal the number of hours when you add up to 3,000 people. How much they suffered those issues, going into the World Trade Center, going into the Pentagon, and going to that field in Pennsylvania. You add up all those people and say each one of them suffered that kind of terror for X number of minutes. Add them all up and say, all right, let's just use, for example, 10,000 minutes. You use up 10,000 minutes waterboarding, we'll quit.
Yeah, I agree.
But when you start looking at this, look, Gitmo at least is... reasonably, look, fully a third of the fence area is water.
Yeah.
And some of it's non-navigable.
Right.
So they're not going to attack by water. People say, oh, we keep them down there, you know, you might get attacked.
What?
You can't rescue anybody from Gitmo. The front, you can't get to it from the front. You can't get to it from the back.
No. That's why
so
it's in Gitmo.
Now, here's what happens with Supermax. First of all, they take him to Supermax.
Oh, jeez.
In Colorado. Idea.
Yeah, okay, let's take Colorado.
You send him to Supermax in Colorado. First of all, it's against the law to bring them there. But
that's
fine. He's going to do it anyway because he doesn't have any respect for the law.
No.
So he's going to take them, he's going to put them in Supermax in Colorado. Now what happens? Now you've got these guys sitting there. You just made... a continental United States target.
That's right. An even bigger target. Gee. You know, he wants to put him in Colorado, South Carolina, where else? Massachusetts, I think.
You just created targets.
Yep.
Because they will take these cells and sleeper cells and napper cells and, you know, catnap cells, and we'll wake them all up and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. All you guys take your suicide vests and you lean against this wall. We set it off, we blow a hole, because once you get inside, corrections officers are unarmed.
Mm.
You only got to worry about the guys in the towers and stuff. And what the hell do they care?
Yeah.
I'll have a hot bar. And they get their buddies and they'll exfiltrate to Dearborn, Michigan and Paterson, New Jersey and wherever else they've got these things. You'll never see them again. Until you see them on videotape saying, the Americans had me not out, and I'm going to, you know, blow something else up. But you're turning these people, these places, into targets.
Yeah.
And how many people are going to look? Even if the guy on the inside that gets killed is a lifer without parole, it still doesn't deserve to die in a terror attack. I mean,
right.
I don't mind calling him a capital punishment, but he doesn't deserve to die in a terror attack.
Mm-hmm.
That's just wrong.
I, you know, I'll be honest, as much as he wants to do this, I don't think he'll be able to do it. I really don't. I mean,
he made that promise 8 years ago, and he wants it fulfilled before he leaves.
Yeah, true. But I don't know. Well, I'll be honest with you. He's got until November. Because once that president, whoever is elected president, and I think and hope it'll be Donald Trump, I don't think he'll dare do anything because Donald will come right out after him. You know, I mean, I personally would try the SOB for treason if he does that. President, ex-president, I don't give a damn what he is. I mean, God knows he has done enough in this against this country.
I mean, I'm against any president serving a third term except him, and I think 25 to life kind of covers it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe we can get him and Hillary adjoining cells.
Yeah. Oh, that was another one I wanted to mention before. Oh, that's another. I saw a poster, or it was a bumper sticker. Might have been a poster. I don't know. Whatever it was, Bill always chose somebody besides Hillary. You should too.
Oh my God! Really? I love it. I love it. Have you
that
noticed
the one with him? The two of them walking along, and it says, "While you're in prison, I'm free to date." Right?
Oh, jeez. No, swear to God, Bill Clinton, he looks like he's ready. I think he's on the Howie Carr death pool. I really think he's in the death pool. Because Howie Carr, upgraded it last week. I was listening. Yeah, and one of the first people that people called in about was Bill Clinton. I mean, he does not. Of course, what'll probably happen is he'll drop dead in October, and then she'll get the sympathy vote, Oh, that poor woman.
There's always an October surprise.
That's true.
There's always an October surprise. Anyway, so we covered Gitmo-ish. We'll have to cover that more.
Yeah. So who do you think is going to win South Carolina tomorrow? You think it's going to be Hillary, or you think it's going to be Byrne?
No, I think it'll be Hillary. I'll tell you, he's got enclaves where he's going to be very strong.
Yeah.
But he's not, I don't think for the general voting public of South Carolina, I don't think he resonates well enough.
That's a shame.
Now, he might not be very, very far behind, but I think he's going to lose by a big enough margin that he doesn't have to worry about his socialist values being insulted by working so hard for the vote and her getting half of them or something that happened up in, what do you call, was it Iowa or New Hampshire?
What, Iowa?
Iowa.
No, Iowa, they tossed the coin.
Yeah, but the thing is, the delegates got split up, and he should have had more, but they gave them to
her.
That's
actually New Hampshire.
Yeah, and, that's not fair, anyway.
Well, Bernie, that's a true socialist type of...
I think even though he'll, it's not a question of win, place, or show, because it's only win and show. There's a winner and second place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, there's only two of them.
Yeah, I think, for now. I think.
Yeah, what do you think? You think Biden's going to pop in?
If the DOJ goes as far as indictment, yeah, I think he'll jump in.
That's what I'm thinking, because, he can just take over her campaign apparatus.
Yeah, I think if it goes as far as indictment, I think he will jump in. Even if she doesn't bow out gracefully,
yeah.
I think that if she goes to indictment, I think he'll jump in. And, nobody's ruling out Bloomberg, but I don't see it happening.
If Bloomberg goes in, he's going to go in as an independent.
He's not going to. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine because it'll siphon away votes from the Democrats.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I have no problem with it. If he should. If he wants to go ahead, go ahead.
Who's he going to get as a running mate? Anderson?
Huh? Oh, God.
But, de Blasio. But,
Wilhelm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Pelosi.
Oh, jeez, Louise. No.
Anyway, I think Hillary will have enough of a... I think she's got a little bit better...
But you know what? Her rallies have not exactly been crowded. And even
she doesn't have. You know what happens is when he has the rallies, he draws off. He siphons off all the youth vote.
Yeah, Bernie, yeah.
He siphons off the youth, millennial, entitled vote, and so she doesn't get that. This is why I said everything hinges on turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw them walking around with clipboards in the cemetery the other day, and, you know, they were registering Democrat voters. Not that I'm saying she could win, but I'd be willing to bet that there would be states where it would really be recounted. You know, I think they'd be looking for hanging chads all over the place.
Yeah, no. So, I'm sure she will do.
Because the thing is, she's going to depend on reclaiming the vote that traditionally goes to the right, and that's the quote unquote soccer mom vote.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem, we've discussed the problem with soccer moms before. If mom's got to take the kid to soccer, mom's not going to make it to the poll.
Yeah, that's true.
So, turnout. Because for every soccer mom, you know, if she is the candidate, she'll get those young women back. You know, face it, if Bernie gets beaten and Hillary is the candidate, those kids aren't going to just swing over and say, well, you know what? Bernie lost. Let's go vote for Trump.
No, you know what though? She's really not hitting it off with young women. She really isn't, because up here in New Hampshire, they did an interview with a lot of women, and one girl said, "Well, you know, just because she's a woman doesn't mean that I am going to vote for her." She said, "There's got to be something more," and this is like, you know, 20s. And she really is not hitting it off with young women, because she's insisting. I mean, come on, that thing with what's her face, Madeleine Albright.
Oh,
she said there's a certain place in hell for women who don't support. It's like, what?
He was a hell of a guy, that Madeleine Albright.
He? Okay.
Did you ever see Madeleine Albright?
I know. But it's like she's bringing out the geriatric set. It's like, you know, Madeleine Albright, Gloria Steinem, my God, they're both in their 80s, for heaven's sake.
She's got to call Gloria, or not Gloria, Helen Gurley Brown, or she's got to call...
I thought Helen Gurley Brown died.
If she was a Democrat, that doesn't matter, does it?
That's true. Okay, I take that back.
But, I mean, so one of these people who, you know, runs Vanity Fair, or Arianna Huffington, somebody like that.
Well, no, wait a minute. Good old Anna Wintour, the one who runs, she's selling $45 T-shirts for Hillary.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you're kidding me, right?
Hey, China, you know, she should get a hold of these women and say, I need statistics. I need to know the percentage of men over 30 or over 35 or something that cheat on their wives. And then she needs to go to these rallies and say, this many of your, you know, if there's 10 of you over there, 5 of your husbands are out cheating. I feel your pain.
Oh, my God. Oh, jeez. Yeah,
You told me a month ago, gloves off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I told you.
Good.
There can't be any other way. I'm sorry. There can't be any other way. This country is already falling, and no. And that's why I think we need Trump. Sorry.
Yes, and he's the anti-establishment candidate. But the thing is, the Democrat is going to trade on the fact that where Hillary's going to get it is because she is the establishment Democrat. Why cheat, steal, play the race card, play the gender card, play the, you know, ism and the phobe cards, and she'll win, because Bernie is not the establishment Democrat. He's a full tilt boogie, open and honest. I am a socialist. He's not even sitting there saying, well, I'm a left-leaning libertarian or a populist. No, he's a socialist.
But wait a minute. But that is resonating, because people, the socialist, socialism stigma. Huh?
I'm sorry, it's resonating with the entitlement mentality.
Well, that's true,
kids, you know, and here's the thing, the kids don't understand is the fact that when they get out, they've got friends of theirs that did go for engineering or what have you, and they don't have jobs, they're out there flipping burgers and delivering newspapers. And when they get out, well, I won't have any student debt. No, you won't, but you won't have a job either. You know, and if you do get a job for $20 an hour, you're only bringing home 10.
Right. You they know, don't understand that.
They don't understand the principle of delayed gratification. you know, like our parents, they worked. Our grandparents, they worked and worked and worked, and the money came in, and they used it to better the life for their kids.
Okay.
And then our parents, they worked and worked and worked and worked, and they laid the money aside to make it better for their kids.
Okay, but one thing...
We made it too good for our kids, and they're entitled now.
Okay, but, yeah, true. A lot of them are. But don't forget, things are so much different now. I mean, you can work and work and work, and you're still not going to get anywhere because of the tax burden, because of regulations, because of a whole bunch of things. It's not what it used to be. And you know, when Donald Trump says we're going to make America great again, you know, one of the things that he says he's going to do is, you know, cut restrictions.
I googled the other day. What line is the 1%?
Yeah.
Okay. And a graphic came up, and I really don't remember where it was from. I don't remember Cato. I don't remember it was from where. Google it up, and it'll show you.
Okay.
Each state, of course, being slightly different.
Right.
In Maine, to be among the quote-unquote 1%, you have to make in excess of $41,000 a year.
Okay.
Now, whether you make 41.1 or 41 million, you're still in the 1%.
Okay.
In other states, it's as low as $37,000 a year.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
To be in that quote-unquote 1%, the Occupy Wall Street 1%.
Yeah. But why so little?
Because that's the thing nobody understands.
So basically, if you have a job...
1%, the 1% owns all the money. But the 1% comes all the way down. In Maine, it comes all the way down to $41,000.
Oh, okay. Okay, now I understand. Okay.
And they don't get it in the fact that, you know something, if you do get a job for $50,000 a year, yeah, you're going to be in the 1%. They're going to take 90% of your money.
They don't understand. They're never going to understand.
I won't have any student debt, yeah, but you won't have anything to pay it with if you did.
You won't have a job.
And not only that, but here's the part that kills me. Here's the part that really kills you. Here's something they don't think of. They think of 1%. They think of Trump. They think of Pickens. They think of the Koch brothers. They think of... Do you honestly think that if Bernie Sanders even looks like he might be going to be the winner, that every last one of them people in that top rarefied tenth of a percent or whatever it is aren't going to move every nickel they've got offshore?
Oh, my.
The Thomas Cayman Islands, Dutch West Indies. You think for a second any of them are going to have anything over here in this country besides a bank account to buy coffee in the morning on their way to work?
Yeah. You're right.
And they'll all be contractors for a subcontractor for a subcontractor for a subcontractor. They ain't going to make it. They're going to be, whatever it is, if it's 41,000, they're going to be making 39.9.
That's true. No, I agree. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting over the next few months.
And all the businesses. Oh, we're going to tax the businesses. Nabisco. Just move jobs to Mexico. Carrier air conditioners. Just move jobs to
Mexico.
They're
going to do it. Yeah, they're going to do it. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah.
Why are they doing it? Why all of a sudden the spate of these businesses moving to Mexico? Why? Because they know that come November, or come next January anyway, they're not going to be able to without penalty.
Well, no, I think he mentioned that he's going to penalize them, put large tariffs on the goods that come back into this country if they have moved a factory out of this country. And I agree with
him. That's great. So they move it out. You got an item that costs retail $1. And between all the other things, including unionization and stuff like that, it costs 90 cents to make.
Okay.
So they moved the factory that makes that widget to Mexico. So now it costs 70 cents to make.
Oh, it makes a lot. No, it costs a lot less.
Because I don't care. It could cost 12 cents.
Ah, jeez. All right.
When they bring it back here with the tariffs, now that dollar item now costs $2.
Okay. But wait a minute.
So now who can buy it? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it costs 90 cents to make or 12 cents to make. The customer can't buy it.
Okay, but no. The whole idea is to prevent the companies from leaving the country. Why? Mm-hmm. No, wait a minute. And this is going to sound really strange to you, because I am a free market person, but when they move their damn company out to Mexico, and their costs are a lot cheaper, and they're paying these people like so much less. And then what they're going to do is when they ship their stuff up here, it's still going to be the same amount. They're going to charge the same amount, and yet they're going to be, you know, they're going to be making money hand over fist. I'm like, excuse me? And yet we have people here that are going to be on welfare and they can't find a job? I don't think so.
They turn around and say, we're going to penalize your company. We're going to put a 100% tariff on it. So now that item is $2. And who's going to be able to afford it? Let's just say it's a roll of toilet paper.
Well, okay. All right.
It doesn't matter what it costs to produce. It costs me $8.
Yeah, I know. But
now tomorrow, I don't care what it costs the company to produce. Now it costs me $2. I can't afford toilet paper.
So then we don't buy it. We buy it from a company that makes it in the United States.
Yes. And in the meantime, the companies that make it in the United States are going to do very well. But if all those jobs are over there, nobody's going to have a job. When you don't have a job, you don't have that $2. You may have been able to scratch together the dollar. But if you need $2 for that roll of toilet paper, you can't afford it. So now what happens?
But
now
wait a
the supply and demand, now the supply and demand kicks in. So now all the people that are making it here are going to charge you a dollar and a half.
No. Not if the tax rate goes down, corporate tax rate. Instead of being, 35% that it is now? If it gets lowered, that makes their operating costs a lot less.
Why would the corporate tax rate go down?
Why? So more businesses move here.
Yeah, but
more businesses move back.
He's not going to do that.
Oh, yes, he said. He says he's going to cut the corporate tax rate. Have you not been listening?
I think we're talking about two different people here.
No, I'm talking about Trump.
I'm talking about Sanders.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. See, we're both on different... Okay, sorry.
Well, if he was going to cut the corporate tax rate to make business
He will never. He will never. You kidding? Sanders won't do that. Sorry, I was talking about Trump.
Why would he cut the corporate tax rate? He wants a tax, so that's why all those businesses are leaving.
Oh, yeah, I know. No, you're right,
No matter what.
No, I agree.
Turn around and they put a year or a year and a half, by the time the legislation is crafted, it gets signed, they can put a couple of years worth of low overhead putting product together. Bring the factory back.
Yeah.
Take advantage of the reduced taxes. Take advantage of tax incentives, but the states will all be clamoring for the jobs, tripping over each other to get to the, you know, to get to the carrier air conditioning first, or tripping over themselves to get to Nabisco first, you know, or whatever other company is it. They'll be tripping over each other trying to get those companies back in. So they'll have tax amnesties for 5 years. They'll have, you know, this, that, and the other thing for 5 years. They'll take the EPA regulations out of the way for 5 years. They'll waive all this stuff for 5 years. The companies will move in, and they'll have a reduced tax rate. Do you honestly think the price is going to go down? No, but the people have jobs they'll be able to afford, the dollar roll of toilet paper.
Yeah.
If Sanders gets in, God forbid, he'll increase the corporate tax.
Yep.
He'll increase the public taxes on everything.
Right. Yep.
And he'll turn around, he's going to have the border open, and all these businesses are going to be in Mexico. Even if he said, I'm going to put a huge tariff on your company because you moved out of the United States, they're going to be, yes, so what?
Oh, no, he's not going to do that. I don't think he will. No, I was thinking about Trump.
No, Trump, we got a half a shot at it being okay. You know, I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if the companies come back as it is.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But if you think under Sanders, anybody's coming back to the United States, you're kidding yourself.
Gosh, no. Oh, no. I never thought that. No.
Oh, the rich will be out of here so damn fast, you're never going to know.
Yeah.
It won't even make your head spin how fast they'll go. They'll go by you so fast, there won't even be a breeze. You're going to be sitting there and crack, what the hell was that? It was the sonic boom. These people are running.
People leaving.
You know, would the last person who makes over 50 grand a year leaving the United States, please put out the light.
Exactly. I just...
These guns don't deserve light.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow in South Carolina with the Dems.
Oh, you got me all upset.
I'm sorry.
I was just trying to calm down.
Oh, jeez. Take a pill.
I got an agenda.
You got an agenda. Oh.
I got an agenda. I had ravioli tonight, so maybe that's too
low. That probably did it low. More than what I'm saying. Okay.
Now, yeah, leftover macaroni can do that, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it was left overnight. You know, it's Friday. You know, it's Friday night. You know, it's left overnight.
You're making me lose my train of thought here. You're talking about ravioli. Jeez Louise.
You got to get Amtrak off the government toll.
Okay.
Because that's why you don't lose your train no more.
Oh, man. Have you ever been... when was the last time you were on Amtrak?
When we went to La Vista.
Okay.
We went down to Boston.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Hello. What I did one year, it was about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I went to go visit my aunt down in New Jersey, and I took the Acela down. Oh, my God. Actually, that's a nice train. It's nice. It was nice, comfortable.
I love the train.
I love train. I love train travel. I do.
I took the city of New Orleans.
Oh, you did?
I took it just because of the song.
I love that song.
I took the Broadway Limited. I took the legendary Crescent that comes up the bottom of the Eastern Seaboard, comes up from the Gulf all the way on. Mm-hmm. I love the train. You know, I know people who were train nuts, but I'm not. But I loved it. It was the most wonderful little way to travel. If you had time,
yep.
But didn't like to drive 1,000 miles, it was a wonderful thing. You know, you're on vacation, you got to be in California tomorrow morning, and you're going to be out there for a week, and then you're going to be back the following Monday. All right.
Fly.
But if you've got the time, hell, being on a train.
And I love it.
It's like being part of a vacation.
Yeah, it is. Your vacation starts earlier. It really does.
Yeah, and I got a news for you. What? I know you're not supposed to do this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because our listeners, you know, we're like family. So I'm going to say, don't tell nobody though. You got to bring your own boots. Model on the money they get for the boot on those things.
Oh yeah.
I went in the back. All I wanted was one little bottle. Now, mind you, this is not last week. This is years ago.
Okay.
One little plastic bottles of Jim Beam whiskey. Yeah. $5.
And
the same amount of booze in a bar in those days was $1.50, you know. I'm not talking the Legion Hall either. I'm talking about in a regular bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you know what the other day was the 24th. This ain't gonna mean nothing to nobody, right? But the 24th was a yard site of a very special person, Hella Young.
I'm going brain dead here. Who?
Hella Young. Hi, welcome to the New Jersey Lottery. I'm Hella Young.
Oh, jeez. Did she die?
Oh, she died in 2002.
Oh, okay. Then, see, I'm a little out of it then.
Yeah.
I'm a little out of it.
She was there since 1980.
Oh my God.
The only reason, look, she was a wonderful, nice lady. I saw her a bunch of times. She used to come into the one restaurant where I used to hang around in a tiki bar. Yes, I used to hang around in a tiki bar, but that was back before it was cool.
I was just going to say, yeah.
It was the only place where I felt reasonably at home. Even though the palm trees were plastic, I didn't care. Oh my goodness. I used to hang around at TV. It was the East Winds on Route 22 in Scotch Plains.
Wait a minute, I know that place. Oh my God. The East Winds.
That's what it was called, the East Winds on Route 22 in Scotch Plains, Route 22 West. I used to go there all the time, you know, and she used to go in there quite often, and she, I don't ever remember seeing that woman without a smile on her face. She was like a human corgi. I never saw her not smile.
Corgi. May she rest in peace. Come on.
No, really. But I'm saying she, you know, she was just, you could, well, hey, hell, oh, hi, how are you, you know. And there was a woman there, everybody used to call it Countess, and I don't know why. I don't think she was actually peered or anything, but everybody used to call her, hey, Countess, you know, and stuff like that. She was just a wonderful, warm, nice person, and never saw her not smiling. Just a wonderful person. But anyway, so yes, on the 24th was her yard site. So, I don't remember who else died that day, but if they weren't Hella, I didn't care.
That's true.
Anyway,
one of
those things, you know, I mean, not for us, but here this year, they're dropping like flies. I mean, you know.
I know. And it's all the good ones that are going.
Well, I don't know about that, but they're all going.
Well, I mean, some of them are going, and some of them are good that are going, well, you know? And then you have people like, oh, I don't know, Kanye West is still around. Jeez.
Yeah, well, you know, that's, you know, in this world of Kanye's, beat Sinatra. You know, if you want to beat somebody in a world full of Kanye's, beat Sinatra.
Yeah, true.
If you want to be somebody in this world of Kardashians, be Sophia Loren.
Oh, she's still with us. Yes.
Yeah, she's. You want to be.
Still,
you know,
beautiful, too. Still beautiful.
No argument for me. No
huh?
argument for
me. Oh, no, yeah, argument. No. Still
Gina
beautiful.
Gina Lollobrigida and Sophia Loren and Elsa Martinelli, who died very young.
Do you remember Anna Maria Alberghetti?
Anna Maria Alberghetti. Yes, I do. Didn't she make a macaroni commercial?
No. Nah, she was an actress.
I'm Anna Maria Alberghetti.
The only actress I ever know that had my name, you know? It's great.
Yeah, well, maybe she was, maybe it was Stella Doro. I don't know.
No, I know. She was an actress.
I know she was, but she made a commercial.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Maybe it was Stella Doro. Maybe it was, well, it wasn't Ragu. We know that.
Julius LaRosa used to do Ronzoni commercials.
Who?
Julius LaRosa.
Oh, yeah, Julius LaRosa. Oh, my God. Okay, folks, yeah, we're showing our age. Jeez.
And Victor Molson, he was around, and Jerry Bale, and...
Jeez, don't start.
Louis Prima,
yeah.
Donna Meachie, I always... Donna Meachie was a wonderful, wonderful actor.
He was, yeah.
Oh, but there were so many of them that you didn't even realize. You know, Ernie Borgnine. You know.
Yeah. You know. Seriously, I mean, Italians have contributed a great deal to this country. They really, really have. Well, on the whole, I mean, Italians have contributed a lot to the world, and culture, and everything.
If you go to or being affiliated Italia, the Center of Italy, they have a list of famous big shot Italian Americans, you know, not to include Lou Costello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he should be. I mean, Jimmy Durante, for God's sake, you know.
Yeah, Tony Franciosa.
I mean, let's if you want. Yeah. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, though. If we're going to have to start wrapping this up, but I do want to bring one thing up. I don't know if you recall from that PBS special, The Italians in America, during the right after the San Francisco earthquake, you had Amadeo. Oh gosh, now I can't remember his last name, but he was Italian, and the Italians that were affected by the earthquake could not get loans.
He went around giving handshake loans.
Yes, he did. And then after a while, he opened up a bank that was called the Bank of Italy. I want people to Bank of Italy. And in turn, that bank became Bank of America. So, folks,
it started out with little handshake loans after the earthquake.
There you go.
And for our younger listeners, we're talking the 1906 earthquake, not the...
Not the one that happened.
Yeah,
1906, the big earthquake in San Francisco. So, and do you know that also that Italians during World War II were the largest ethnic group that were part of the military?
Yeah, they were. They were almost exclusively in Europe, because they used to ask, I mean, my uncles and stuff, they asked, do you speak Italian? Yes, well, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
That was simple. when they went to, whether they went to North Africa or whether they went, I did have a lot of them, I think I mentioned this, they were in the Navy, but the ones that were in the Army all went to Europe.
Yeah.
And including my father went to Italy.
Did he? Oh, my gosh.
And, anybody who could speak Italian, they went. Anybody who could speak French went. Anybody who could speak, Spanish, although Spanish got split up because of the South Pacific. But, yeah, they all went over to, as I said, starting out, whether it was in North Africa or North area, you know, that kind of a thing. And then working their way all the way up, you know, but they stayed, they tended to stay, you know, like they reformed their, you know, platoons, their, you know, companies, their battalions, their, you know, and the people that could stay there to do, you know, to garrison places like Italy and Spain and France, they would end up being filtered out into different assignments. And at least that's the way I've heard it told. But, you know, because the ones who spoke English, well, they were okay in England, you know, but they weren't much good in...
No, they weren't good in Italy, no.
But again, you know, these are you know, the Sons of Italy has a very good list on that.
I have to look that up again.
Old Newark, a fellow who runs a website, Old Newark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he has this list. I think it's just a link, but that's where I always find it when I need it, of New Jersey people. Famous New Jersey people. And
I'll have to look that up.
And it's amazing because it's not just that there's a lot of people from New Jersey that are very famous and very powerful and all that other stuff, but the fact that the preponderance of them is Italian Americans.
Yeah. Yep.
So
here we are, two Italian Americans who are very, very proud of their heritage, but in no uncertain terms, we are American.
It doesn't describe who I will be, it describes who I am.
Exactly. And I think on that note, Lou, we're going to have to wrap this up because we've been gabbing along here, having a grand old time.
Hey, at least we had some idea where we were going this time.
I know.
People are going to listen to this and say, oh, who are you and what you do with Lou and Amory?
That's true.
You know, they're going to call Giorgio Tricolos and say, aliens. You know, you know, you better look because I think Lou's webcam and Amory's microphone, I think they are in a line with the stars of Orion's belt. I think the handles of Lou's wheelchair, you know, point towards Sirius. You
know? Yep. Okay. So why don't you take us out?
If that's the case, then, hey, it's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. At least for us. I don't know about anybody else. And, you know, not for nothing, but I really don't care.
Yeah, thanks to us. But if you're listening, thank you. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Hey, you know, buy one, buy them all. Collect them, trade them with your friends. Batteries not included. Please like us. Please subscribe to us. Please feedback, comment, as my buddy Lionel says, as you see fit.
Yeah, we welcome comments. You might not like the response, but we welcome comments.
Well, if I answer them early in the morning, after I have my coffee, but before I start drinking, it shouldn't be too late.
It should be okay, yeah, okay.
But I want to once again express, as we always do, Amory, our undying appreciation for all of our people in uniform, and it doesn't matter which uniform. If you're in uniform all the way down to the last brownie, we appreciate you.
Yep.
We thank you, and we can't pay you enough. And I promise that if there's anything I can do to make it better, to see to it that somebody wants the federal money to open a halal market or they take that federal money and put it towards our veterans, I'll be there. Yep. I got your six. And on that note, Amory, good night.
Good night,
Barry,
Lou.
Thanks for another wonderful job. Our producer, oh, he fell asleep. Okay, whatever.
And he was snoring, so.
Next time, same guinea time, same guinea channel. Hey, if the Pentagon didn't get it, forget about it.
Ciao.
Ciao, and God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.